to worship him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, church. You know what's a church, right? Church is a community of believers coming together to worship God. So it's not the building, it's us. We are the church. Yes. Got it? Yes. Amen. Today is Sunday, right? It's also a Sabbath for us. So thanks God we have the opportunity just to come to come and worship him. Today we're going to look at another name of God. I mean, God has only one name. The proper name is Yahweh. We have different names. He revealed himself different times to reveal his power. And today we're going to study El Shaddai, which is God Almighty, and one way of describing himself. So if you have your Bible, let's open to Genesis 17. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 14, but I'll be referencing the whole chapter all along. So if you have your Bible, open it to Genesis 17. If you have a cell phone, you can open your app, turn off your Wi-Fi, turn off your cellular signal, so you won't be disturbed. Genesis 17, verses 1 to 4. Can you all rise to read the scripture? Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He shall broken my covenant. Father God, we come to listen to you. We come to listen to you speak. May your words speak through our hearts. May you give us a humble heart, a heart in peace, a receptive heart to listen to all your words. May we all say in our heart, Speak to me, God. Power, we ask for your power. We ask for the Spirit's power to illuminate us through this passage in Genesis 17, that you speak to us who you are. You are El Shaddai, our God Almighty, our Yahweh, our Most High God. So, Father, speak to us, and may your words sit deep in our hearts, and may you use us to be a blessing of others when we manifest your words in our daily lives. Father, we ask for your presence, and we ask for the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus, that you continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Today I'm going to speak on Genesis 17. So I have a job. My job is to present God's word to you and to help you to apply his truth in your daily lives. But you have a job also. Your job is to pay attention, listen carefully to God's words, meditate on his words, and make sure today's message aligns with the 66 books in the Bible. It's not just today's passage. Got to make sense of the whole Bible. You know the Bible, all 66 books is one story about God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let those words transform you and make you holy. This is your job. Okay, this is a picture of a city, start with an H. The name comes from a Hebrew word of friend. So a lot of, it's in the Middle East, it's in Palestine, it's called Hebron. It's where Abraham was buried. And Abraham was called the friend of God. And that's why the city is called Hebron. It's friend. Abraham is a friend of God. That's how the Jewish remember the city of Hebron. This is Hebron on a hillside. Not so high. This is another picture of Hebron. But due to the political instability there, in your upper right-hand corner, you will see a lookout. It's really tense. It's still in the West Bank. So it is some tension. But it's okay. You can go there safe. I've been there, and nothing really happened. You will see a lot of people with machine guns and going on. But it's all peace because God is there. This is called the Machpelah. Machpelah is, any guess? Remember, Abraham was sojourning in the land of Israel, and he doesn't have a land. So when Sarah died, what happened? He didn't have a land to bury Sarah, and he has to bought a piece of land. And that piece of land is in Hebron. And this big building is called Machpelah, is where the building where they believe that the graves of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their wives, Sarah, and who? The son, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They're all buried there. And even Leah was buried there. And this is the tomb site, or what they believe is the grave site for the caves. So this is actually the piece of land that Moses first bought in the land of Israel. And he paid for it. Quite a bunch. So what does it have to do? Because this is, because when we read the Bible, it is especially Genesis. This is a story that happened 4,000 or 5,000 years ago in a foreign land we don't know of. We've never been to there. The reason I'm showing you this picture is this is not only a fiction, it's the truth, it's history. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all buried here. And it's proven. So if you go there, you will feel the presence of God. But this story happened like 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. So how does it apply to me? It's a good old story, I believe it, and I read it many times, and a lot of you probably know the story much better than I do. So my job is to connect you with the story and our daily lives. So today we're going to study El Shaddai, God Almighty. We know God, but who is he? What does he do? A lot of times we only know about God in our brain and our knowledge. Do we really know God in our heart? Even though my brain and my heart is only like 18 inches apart, but it takes me 50 years before I really realize God is in my heart. So it takes 50 years to travel 18 inches. So I hope your journey will be much, much faster. Today we look at El Shaddai. He is gracious. El Shaddai is covenantal. And El Shaddai is the giver of life to the dead. So let's look at El Shaddai is gracious. When Abraham was 99 years old, verse 1, 17, The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I mean, Abram was 99 years old. Remember in Genesis 15, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he didn't have Ishmael yet. So it should be at least 13, 14 years that God hasn't spoke to Abram. So sometimes we pray to God and then we may not hear his answer. Even Abram, it took him so long before God spoke to him again. So we got to be patient. And God speaks to us all the time. He likes to speak to us. In Hebrews, it said, 11:1, he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. God wants to speak to us. He used the prophets in the past. Then he sent his Son to speak to us. And all his words are here. He wants to speak to us. It's whether we want to listen or not. If we want to listen, we open the book. He may speak to us differently. He may speak to us in our dreams. He may speak to us directly. He may speak to us through another person. Or he may speak to us through the creations. That's what Paul said in Romans 1. That's what we call general revelation. God speaks to us through his revelations, his generations, because he created the heavens and earth. So there are different ways God speaks to us, and especially we can read his words. But unfortunately, Abraham did listen, but he didn't follow Yahweh or El Shaddai all the times. In Genesis 13, it said, the Lord said to Genesis 12, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God told Abram to leave Haran without his father's household. And guess what? He left with Sarai, his wife, and then he took his nephew Lot with him. Did he listen? I don't know. Probably not, because God said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house and your father's house to the land. So he didn't listen completely. But did God get angry? Not quite. I mean, he was upset, but I don't think he was angry. But God is slow to anger anyway, so he may be angry, but he's slow to anger. A lot of times, do we really listen to God? We think we listen to God and, oh yeah, this is said in the Bible. Yes, but a pastor once told me, he read the Bible for a few years, and one day he has a God's calling to go to a seminary to get equipped. And after 3-4 years of seminary, he came out of the seminary reading the Bible and understanding God 180 degrees around. What he thought he was reading, his knowledge of God, was wrong. Reading the same Bible, we can read it wrong because we read it with our own perspective. We want the God we like. We only read the part we like and neglect all those we don't like. Even though we read the part we like, we try to explain it through our own terms. This is the God I like. Reframe our God. So a lot of times, I know we all know the stories, but go and read and meditate on the words and make sure the passage will align with the 66 books of the Bible, with complete Bible, not just one chapter, one verse, or one passage. It's so important. So Abram didn't listen fully. He did leave Haran and move to the Promised Land, but he didn't listen fully. Again, he messed up in going to Egypt. Once he was in the land, he was feeling good, but what happened? God sent a famine there, and then there was no food. When we look at the pictures, that's why I show you the pictures, it's kind of dry. If you really pay attention, there are big water tanks on each of the building of the house because they only have like 3 to 5 inches of rain every year. It's hot. For the Israelites, the blessings, their blessings, are the rain. The rain is the blessings. If they have no rain, they have no food, they have no water, they have no life. It's so important to them. Here we have abundant of water. We can turn on the faucet and then do our daily cleaning without turning it off. But here, over there, they save every gallon of water because they only have 3 to 5 inches of rain every year. That's how precious water is them. So their blessings is water, is rain from heaven, from our God. And then what? Abraham went to Egypt. Did God tell him to go to Egypt? No. God told him to go to the promised land, the land of Canaan. So, Abram did a lot of stupid things. He took charge. I remember brother always said, he always walk in front of God without asking God. He do things on his own because he think he can do it, and he likes to walk in front of God. This is what Abram is doing. And don't think he is stupid. We are stupid too. We are still doing the same thing. We walk in front of God every day without asking him. So, and Abram, before he went into Egypt, he told his wife, hey, they're going to kill me because you are so beautiful. They're going to take you as a wife, and they will keep you as a wife, so in order for them to marry you as a wife, then they have to kill me. So they won't commit adultery. And Abram knew all this, and then he still went into Egypt to get food. And then he told Sarah to lie, you are my sister. And he lied to Pharaoh, so Pharaoh married Sarai. He knew all this, and still he tried to do all this. He tried to take care of things. We are our almighty men. I can do it, especially we, men. We have the mighty image. We can do it. Abram did a lot of stupid things. When we look back together, it is stupid. But when we're doing it, we don't think it's stupid. Just like what I'm doing now, I think I'm doing the right thing. But a few years later, I will look back and see, wow, I did things so stupidly because I didn't ask God for advice. So if we pray, do we really listen to God and listen fully? Or like Abram, he listened partially. And then, Genesis 16, after God has made a covenant with him in Genesis 15, what did he do again? God, you promised me a son in my family. And then Sarah thought, oh yeah, why don't you take my slave, my servant Hagar, and be your wife? Then we can have kids. Because we know Sarah was barren. That's in Genesis 11. Sarah was barren. That's why they don't have kids. So Sarah suggested this. And guess what? Abram fell for it. No. Same thing as in Genesis 3, when Eve saw the fruit and show it to Adam, this is good for you. Adam didn't protect Eve, but he also fell for it because Adam has a rebellious heart. He go for it. Go ahead, you eat it so I can eat it. Same here, Abram has a rebellious heart. He not only allowed Sarai to continue to speak, because in his heart, the deep desire is to have a son in his own power. So he can say, God, I don't need you. So he fell for it. And then it's his deepest desire to have a son on his own. So that's why he went into Sarai, and Sarai conceived and had a son. So Abram did a lot of stupid things. Did God get angry? Not yet. Still in 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, when God speak to him, did God rebuke him? No. What did he say? Walk before me shameless. Remember in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they're not supposed to eat. What did God say to Adam? when he came to find him. God didn't rebuke him. He just asked Adam and Eve, what did he say? Three words. Where are you? Where are you? God didn't rebuke them, but was slow to angry. And same here. Abram did a lot of stupid things and wasn't pleasing to God. But still, God said, walk before me blameless. You don't have to be perfect. You only have to be blameless. Why? Because blameless is also said to another prophet before Abram, Noah. Noah was righteous, and he was blameless in his generation. It's the same word in Hebrew, tamna, blameless. Again, here Abram was credited with righteousness already, but God didn't expect perfection from Abram. Same for us. We believers, we profess our faith in Christ. And I got the privilege to witness 7 brothers and sisters get baptized yesterday, and it was such a joy. But it's also a relief that we have God's guarantee. We don't have to be perfect like him on earth. We only have to be blameless. We can still make mistakes. God knows we are going to mess up. But he is slow to anger. He is not going to judge us immediately. God, you did wrong. I'm going to put you in jail. Maybe a little bit later. God gave us time to repent, to go back to him. That's who our God is. He is a gracious God. Even though we don't deserve it, he gives it to us. He gives us his son so we can get close to him. So how often do we really listen to God? How often do we listen carefully what God is saying? Do we read his words? Do we read it carefully and meditate on it? Or do we just glance through it, speed reading? Oh yeah, I read through the Bible in 1 week. Yes, good. But do you get it? Do you really listen to God? Be still when you want to listen to God. Listen to Paul. Be still. You need to spend time with him. It's not just like you speed read it and know the story. You need to spend time with him. Allow him to talk to you. Do we listen to him when we ask for guidance? A lot of times I will take the one I like, and then the one I don't like, no, God, no, you cannot be serious. I cannot do this. Give me another way out. I mean, this is me. I have my weakness. And hopefully through my weakness, you all will become strong in Christ. You all become strong in faith in Christ. Abram was impatient. I mean, he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait because in 11:30 he said Sarah was barren. He couldn't wait. He just took things into his own hands. And then what? When Abram went to Egypt, he actually derailed God's plan. God's plan was to bring him to Canaan. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt to get food. Did he? I didn't read it in the Bible. But who sent him there? He shouldn't be going there. He knows he's going to get killed. Why did he go there? He just wants food to satisfy his stomach. Did he change God's plan? No. God made use of his mistake and continue to bless Abram. He blessed him with sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels before Pharaoh sent him back to Canaan, the promised land. God used his mistake to bless him so he can live in the land of Canaan. A lot of times we make mistakes in our life. Do you think God will punish us immediately? A lot of times we will get rich, make a lot of money, make good grades, doing good in school, doing good in work. A lot of times we may not be listening to God. We may not be following His will, but still He will continue to bless us and make use of our mistakes and turn it around, because God's plan for everyone is the same. He has a perfect plan for all of us, and we are going to end up inheriting His kingdom. No matter we turn to the right or turn to the left, how we fall short, He is going to bring us around, as long as we have our eyes focused on God. So, don't think you can change God's mind. You cannot change His mind. But He is going to bless us, even though we make mistakes, even we mess up. El Shaddai is covenantal. What it means is God Shaddai, El Shaddai, makes covenant. He only not make promises to us. You know God doesn't lie, right? So when God promises, do you think it's good or not? It is good, because God doesn't lie. If God lies, it doesn't make sense to have any promise on us. A covenant is actually a promise plus an oath. God not only promised Abram offspring, land, and blessing, but He made an oath He's going to deliver. Land, offspring, and blessing. Not only to Abram, but also to his offspring, everlasting. So what is a covenant? God promised, but He also added another guarantee to it, another layer of guarantee. When we take an oath, we swear to God. Just like, if any of you have seen movies or TV episodes, when you make an oath in the courthouse, you swear to God, you tell nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Right? So you swear to a superior power. I don't swear to Pastor Matt, I don't swear to Brother Mark, but I swear to God. I swear to an upper power. But this is God. Who is He going to swear to? Still, He swear to Himself He's going to promise by making a covenant. In Genesis 12, what did He ask Abram to do? To bring him some animals, cut them in halves, and then at nightfall, what happened? God passes through the halves of the animals Himself in fire. God appears to us in fire. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and in Exodus, He appeared to the Israelites in a pillar of cloud in the day and pillar of fire in the night. God Himself passed through the animals. So what does that ritual mean when God passed through those animals, the halves of the animals? In ancient people, when they took a covenant, when they passed through the animals, that's why they cut in the half, is the both of the pledging parties affirming that they will keep their promise. If they fail to keep the promise, they will be like the animals they pass through, cut in half. And God even promises, if He doesn't deliver, He will cut Himself in half. And we know that will never happen, because God's word is good. God's word is true, because He doesn't lie, and He is going to keep His promise. But still, He gives us an extra layer of guarantee. Do you like a lifetime guarantee? When I can buy a car with lifetime guarantee. I mean, too bad they only come with like 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years. I mean, I wish I could buy a car with lifetime guarantee. Then I don't have to look at those car trouble and then, it wouldn't start and the AC doesn't cool down, and I have to deal with all those headaches. Don't you want a car or a house with lifetime guarantee? You don't have to fix the house with the leaky faucets, with those cracks in the walls. But God gives us double guarantee, not only one guarantee, two guarantees, and not only for a lifetime, it's for everlasting. Because God's is an everlasting God. Remember in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. God is above time. It's above the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is everlasting and everlasting. He is here before the heavens and the earth. That's why he can create the creed, the heavens and the earth. God in it promised Abraham land, offspring, and blessings. It may not sound much to you, because okay, I'm not going to live in Palestine. I'm not going to live in Israel. I don't want to live in the desert. I mean, I prefer to live in the woodlands. I got trees. I mean, look at the houses in Hebron. They're so close to each other. I mean, you can actually hear other people's talking. And here in the woodlands, I won't even see my neighbor if we get so many trees between us, right? Why do I want to live in Hebron? Why do I want to live in Palestine? It doesn't bother me. But, like I said, God is covenantal, and that's why his covenants are important to us. Besides making the Abrahamic covenant, promising Abraham, he also promised, oh, I forgot to show you a picture. I get so excited about God. These are the two halves of the animals, the fire pot and the fire passed through it, and that's his God. And he passed through the animals in the nighttime. But the Abrahamic covenant is what? It's to bring the people, the promised people, into the promised land. Because that was God's promise, to bring them to Canaan, give them the land, the blessing. Then you said, okay, there's another covenant called the Old Covenant, which we call the Mosaic. The Mosaic covenant is actually to keep the people in the land of Canaan, the promised land. You may still wonder, oh, I still don't want to live in Canaan. It doesn't have to do anything with me. Fine. Then there's the new covenant. Okay, do I get some attention now? The new covenant. In Genesis 6, God knows man's heart are what? Evil. Again, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? This is your heart, this is my heart. It's deceitful above all things. Not only deceitful, it's above all things. And desperately sick. We are sick. We are hopeless. God knows we have a heart problem. That's why he promises a new heart in the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, he's going to write the law in our hearts. And Ezekiel, he promises a new heart. We have a heart problem. That's why we need a new heart before we can really spend time with God. Until that day, we are not perfect before God, and we're going to mess up continuously. But still, God is patient. God is slow to anger. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the old covenant, but to fulfill them. It's because of Jesus who nailed himself on the cross and gave up his life. Well, let me take it back. Jesus didn't nail himself to the cross, in case I didn't get your attention. Who nailed Jesus to the cross? Who nailed Jesus to the cross? We did. You did. I did. It's because of your sin, my sin, Jesus has to be nailed on the cross so his blood can cover our sins, so we can be perfect in front of God's eyes, even though we are not perfect yet. And we will not be until the day we see Jesus again in his second coming. It's because of his blood that we are credited, charged, reckoned righteousness, just like Moses did. If you believe in Jesus, good. You're going to have a new heart. You'll be right before God. And we're going to inherit the kingdom when Jesus comes again. We have a heart problem. So, okay, you say, okay, the new covenant, what's... I still don't see anything to do with me. You get, okay, God give all these promises. I mean, God is good, I know, but what does it have to do with me? I mean, I like that me theology. Me, everything is about me. What can I do? What does it benefit me? What does it have to do with me? How good it is? It's because of the new covenant that we are the beneficiaries of the new covenant. Hebrews 9, 15 to 17. Therefore he, Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So we are called, so we may inherit the eternal inheritance, God's kingdom. We are grafted in as believers in Romans 11, but we, New Testament believers, are the beneficiaries of the new covenant because of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We can inherit the eternal kingdom along with our brother Jesus. And God's covenants are everlasting. Genesis 17, 7 to 8, it said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant, for an everlasting possession. This is his promise, El Shaddai's promise to Abraham. What about El Shaddai's promise to Isaac? Genesis 26, 3 to 5. I will be with you and will bless you, for to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. And this is to Isaac. And again, he swore himself to Jacob. Genesis 28, 13 to 15. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. He continues to renew and ratify his covenant with Abraham's offspring. And again, in 2 Samuel 7, he made a Davidic covenant and other offspring of Abraham to renew the promise and remind us, because we are forgetful. We forget about God. It's just like when we're studying the Bible this morning. Josiah was the last good king in Judah, the southern kingdom. And then his son, he didn't raise him right. He didn't teach his son about God. So when Jehoiakim came into power, he turned everything around. Even though Josiah, his father, was a good king, and has his eye focused on God. But Jehoiakim came. No, he took away all the temples and made idols and worship idols in the temples, because we are forgetful. And we don't teach our next generation, they will become idol worshippers. Okay, that's good. I am young. I have nothing to do with me, because I don't have to teach my children. Remember, imagine yourself one day. Some of you may have kids, then you know. Some of you may not have kids yet, but one day you will have. And when you have that baby holding in your hand, you'll be so proud, just like when I had my daughter, and then people say, oh, George, your daughter really looks like me. Looks like you, George. And I'm really happy. The only bad thing I didn't know is she learned from me. She had all my bad characters too. So when I'm stingy, she learned from me, she became stingy. Imagine when you have kids, you're holding that baby in your hand. You say, oh, that baby really looks like you. Great. But after 18 years, he or she will learn from you also. Whatever you do, he will do. Whatever you do, she will do also. If you don't teach him the right thing and do the right thing yourself, you are going to raise up bad kids. Even though Abraham raised up a good kid, Isaac, he taught him about God. But when Isaac raised up Esau and Jacob, he didn't teach them about God. So they didn't know about God until later on in their lives. Go and read your Bible. How come Isaac was not a good father? Because we are not perfect, and if we are not reminded by God's word, we will run away. So keep in mind, whatever you do, will make a big influence, impact on the next generation, on your offspring. So imagine, even though you may not have done the right thing, all right things, have God continued to bless you? Has he ever stopped blessing you? He may bless you in different ways, but has he ever stopped blessing you? Last, we're going to talk about El Shaddai gives life to the dead. El Shaddai can create life. He brings Adam and Eve to earth. He created them. But did you know? At that time, Abram didn't know. El Shaddai is the giver of the dead. Giver of life to the dead. He can raise dead people. In Hebrews 11:12, he said, Paul said, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. He was talking about Abram, good as dead. Why? Because Abram was an old man. This doesn't mean he cannot have kids, because his father, Terah, has him at 130 years old. He's still capable. It's not him. Because he married Sarai. Remember, Sarai is a barren wife. So how a man can have, and his barren wife can have children? Impossible, right? So that's why he is considered as good as dead. Even Abram considered himself as good as dead. Same for us. We are as good as dead. In Ephesians 2:1, he said, we are all trespassers. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And in Romans it said, we are all sinners. Every one of us falls short of God's glory. And the wrath of sin is death. We are all dead before coming to God. It's only we have life when we come to know God. So Abram was considered as good as dead, but God still gave him a child out from Sarai. So on that day, he said, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. This is his response. Are you kidding me? My wife is barren. How can you give me a child? Do we complain to God? Do we distrust God? Do we have doubts in God? Yes, we do. It's okay. Even though we accepted Christ, doesn't mean we don't doubt God anymore. It's okay. But still, do we listen to God and really trust that he will deliver? Because God's plan is beyond our imagination, and we have to be patient and wait for him. Abraham laughed. And in Genesis 18, Sarah did the same thing in front of three men. She laughed. And what did one of the men said? Is anything too hard for our God, El Shaddai? Our God is possible. Everything is possible for God. Because in Romans, Paul said, our God is the one who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. God did raise up Jesus. In Acts 2, this Jesus God raised up, and we are all witnesses. These are from the apostles and disciples at that time. It's about 500 of them, right, give or take. This Jesus God raised up, and of what that we are all witnesses. This is written by Luke. And in Romans 6:4, it said, Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. God, El Shaddai, has the power to raise up dead. That's why he has the power to raise up dead people like us. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Believe it or not, we are all going to die. But all our bodies are going to be raised up. In Revelation 20, it said, the dead will be raised up, That's before all the believers were taken to heaven first, and then come back to rule the earth for the millennium. All the red will be raised up and be judged in front of the white throne. Those whose name is not in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire, along with Satan, the devil, the false prophets, into the lake of fire. That's the second death, because we are all dead. Our bodies will die. But with believers, when we raise up, we will not see death again, because we're going to inherit the kingdom and be with Christ. But if you are not a believer of Christ, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's the second death. You'll be forever, forever, everlastingly away from God in the lake of fire. So, yeah, you don't scare me. I'm not scaring you. This is God's word. God's word is the truth. God's word has power, because his words are living, and he can cut over our hearts. If you feel comfortable hearing God's words, that means you're accepting and receiving God. If you feel any discomfort hearing God's word, that means you have to reconcile with God. Again, don't listen to and believe to everything I said. Go and check with your Bible and see whether it reconciles with what God is saying and doing. So how should we respond? We should respond by obedience to God. We should also obey and honor our biological parents. Remember, this is the only commandment that has a reward. Honor your father and your mother so you have long life. Seriously, this is the only commandment. You don't follow others, you may be like David. As long as you keep your eyes on God, it's still good. But if you love God, you will follow all his commandments, including this one. And remember, one day we'll be all fathers and mothers to our next generation, and they will learn from us. If you want your siblings, I mean your offspring, to honor you because they mimic what I do, you better honor your parents so they will honor you. When we listen to God, how should we respond to his words? Abram fell on his face and worshiped. So do we fell on our face and worship? Yes. But do we only fell on our face and worship him on Sunday between 11:15 and 12:30? No. We worship him 24/7. That's why our small group is studying God at work. How do we worship God in our daily life? At work, in a school, in a workplace, whatever we do, we honor God. We can worship God through our singing, our studying, meditation, also tithing, offering, and servings. So, when Abram was asked to circumcise, he took action. He circumcised his whole family. As New Testament believers, do we need to circumcise? No. But God did ask for every one of us to circumcise our hearts. In Deuteronomy 36, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of all your offspring. We circumcise our heart. The circumcision is in the well, most people cannot see your circumcision. It's only a reminder to the Israelites that they are God's people. If not, they will forget. How do we circumcise our heart? God circumcised our heart by indwelling the Holy Spirit inside us, written the law into our heart, so we can manifest God's glory in our daily lives. As I told you, we all have a heart problem. God give us the new covenant so we can be the beneficiaries of the new covenant and have a new heart, so we can be right before God. And again, El Shaddai speak to us all the time. Allow us to be still and continue to listen to him, through meditating his words and keeping his